morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show with host Tanya Brown. We are coming to you from New Orleans, Louisiana, to offer you a bite-sized bit of magic. Our 20-minute-ish episodes are the perfect start to your day. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your pop of magic.
Good morning. I think today's a no-bones day because I recorded 5 minutes of this and none of it recorded. It is November 29th, 2021. It is Monday. I am Tanya and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by Evolution of a Witch Prompt Journal. So let's get your day going with a little magic. If anyone who watched The Office, there was this bit where like Pam would send Michael a call, but he would always say something really embarrassing when he would pick it up. So she would always fake transfer it and then let him say the ridiculous thing and then she would transfer it for real and like his response was always better. I feel like that's what happens when I record like 5 or 10 minutes and I realize none of it's recording. I'm like, all right, this was a Michael Scott moment. So our quote of the day is, keep away from people who can try to belittle your ambitions. Small people always do that, but the really great make you feel that you too can become great. By Mark Twain. So what are we drinking today? We are drinking Harvest Tea. Harvest is actually one of the first teas we ever did. It is a rooibos with fruit and nuts and caramel and cocoa, and it's smooth and rich. It is a non-caffeinated tea, so you can drink it all day long, anytime during the day. It is, in my personal opinion, ideal for the dark half of the year. And we're going to talk a little bit about why. So this tea is a rooibos with apple pieces, cacao nibs, marigold, blue cornflowers with flavorings such as caramel and chestnut. But I wanted to talk about the blue cornflower. And this is why I really like it for fall and Season of the Dead, because blue cornflowers are super freaking cool. So during the pandemic, I, too, went through a gardening stage. However, I can't keep anything alive. I have a plant that by my front door that I am desperately trying to keep alive. And the person who gave it to me was just like, you know, this is like the easiest plant to keep alive. You don't even have to worry about it. It thrives on neglect. And then I had someone else who was like, oh, that's like a flower. I thought it was a weed. I've been trying to kill it. And I'm trying so hard to keep this thing alive. So that really tells you my gardening abilities. Well, when the pandemic happened and everyone started gardening, I was like, I also want to garden, like embrace my nature witch fantasy. And it obviously went as well as you think it did. I killed everything. But I really fell in love with these flowers called bachelor buttons. Very pretty, very gorgeous. They had a black one and oof, lovely. Turns out those are cornflowers, which I absolutely love cornflowers. I like to use them in teas and soaps. I really enjoy them. So we're actually going to talk about the symbolism bachelor buttons. They have a really cool history across different cultures. So we're going to get into it. Before we get started, bachelor buttons does come in various colors. There's red, white, pink, black, blue, purple. However, the really, really popular one is the blue. While they're all vibrant, the blue just like stands out. So let's talk a little bit about the symbolism across cultures, because again, it is very, very cool. So my segment that didn't record was me talking about all of this. So now I'm like trying to find my information. Okay, so this actually does come to us from pansymaiden.com. Bachelor buttons, aka blue cornflowers. Let's talk about the symbolism and cultural significance. So bachelor button flowers symbolize love, the passion of youth, and healing. These flowers were particularly popular among the youth across cultures at various points in time. Due to their ability to survive in rough conditions, and I still killed it, these flowers have also come to symbolize perseverance. The blue-colored bachelor button flower was especially coveted by many due to the cultural significance attached to it. Blue bachelor button flowers were considered superior to other shades and reminiscent of lost love. The color blue symbolized grief and unreturned love. Although in many cultures, blue bachelor buttons were also used on happy occasions. However, the blue variants of the bachelor buttons are still used to honor the dead in funerals. The bachelor button flower, meaning, was contrived because of the blue variants, but it's still very relevant. In politics, bachelor button flowers became quite important. The blue ones was a national symbol of Germany. In various European countries, the blue cornflower is a symbol of rightist ideologies, and it also has a special place in the German Romanticism movement in the arts. So yeah, just like a wild flower, right? Like, it's political, which who knew? It represents grief and lost love, and then but young love and passion and perseverance, and then there's all the different colors. It's just I think it's really cool when flowers like develop such intense lore, and especially ones that we kind of sometimes forget about, you know? All right, so moving into some headlines, this comes to us from CNN. The Witch Isn't Dead, new book explores witchcraft, rebellious history, and modern transformation. And this was written by Mariana Serini for CNN. Look up witches and you might see a number of depictions. Ugly old ladies and young sensual temptresses, anti-heroes and aspiring role models, evil creatures mixing deadly potions and righteous sorceresses helping girls find their way. A new title from the Library of Esoterica aims to explore the wealth of complex identities in a visually vibrant volume that isn't so much a book as it is a spellbinding tribute to the figure and practice that is as old as time. Witchcraft offers a deep dive into many facets of centuries-old traditions in the Western world, weaving more than 400 classic and contemporary artworks and essays and interviews by what editor Jessica Hunley describes as a diverse coven of writers, scholars, and modern-day practitioners, each embracing the practice of their own individual ways. Quote, I wanted to present witchcraft through symbolism and art, but also fresh personal perspectives, Hunley explained in a phone interview. So much of the esoteric is often shrouded in secrecy and weighed down by stigma. With witchcraft, we worked collaboratively on introducing the subject in a way that felt inclusive and less intimidating. So, yes, let me see if this book, where this book's available. So it definitely looks like it's available like at the publisher website, which is super cool. But let's see where else. Okay, can't find it. Maybe it's not out yet. Hang on. Let me double check. I thought it was. Okay, so it's definitely available on the publisher website, so I will have a link to the article if you want to check it out and head over and look at that. But yeah, really cool. I really love when we get these really academic texts on witches because I feel like it really validates a lot of things and us, and I really like that. So cool. All right, witches, I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent, and then after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Monday, November 29th. The waning crescent moon moves from tidy Virgo to the beautiful windy skies of Libra by noon today. Here, the moon trines Saturn and Pluto and opposes Neptune. We are coming to today with a sober mind and a penetrative outlook. We have the ability to put our faculties to work today and really push through on our projects. The problem is, we might have fantasies about how much we can accomplish and then be disappointed when we don't reach these lofty goals. It's important to reward yourself for every small accomplishment you make throughout the day. If we judge ourselves by expectations that have been set too high, we will quickly become discouraged and not feel energized to finish the day strong. Remember, it's great to shoot for the stars, but reaching the moon is an incredible accomplishment. Your daily moon mantra is, set your goals high enough to inspire you and low enough to encourage you. This has been your Daily Moon Mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Today's episode is brought to you by the journal Evolution of a Witch, 150 Journal Prompts for Witches by Tanya Brown. So Evolution of a Witch is a prompt journal made for witches by witches. These questions can be ones you answer quickly, or reflect on later, or you can ponder them intensely with friends. Do you believe in good versus evil? What three items could be used to summon you? Who has been the most impactful person in your practice? These questions are meant to not only help you think about life from a new perspective, but your magic as well. Whether you want to write your responses and then move on, or use this journal as a jumping off point for future conversations, debates, classes, or even books, it's a judgment-free space for you to share your thoughts and ideas. A full-color journal with 150 prompts, you can take your time, integrate it into weekly journaling sessions, or use it as conversation starters with other magical people in your life. Find it now on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. All right, so we have a question from listener Rachel. Rachel says, "Hi everyone, I'm looking for some advice. A few months ago, I began communicating with the spirit of my grandmother, and that's been very rewarding. There's a warmth and love that comes through every time I do a card reading." Communicating with the spirit of my grandfather. There is a warmth and love that comes through every time I do a reading with him, and it's been really reassuring to feel his presence around me. Unfortunately, I believe that opening myself up to spirit work has brought the attention of a negative energy as well. Every few weeks, something invades my dreams and wakes me up in the middle of the night, occasionally accompanied by sleep paralysis, which I'd never experienced before this. I also once spotted a small black shadow about 4 inches tall dash across my living room and hide behind a bookshelf. I thought it was a mouse at first, but there's been no evidence of that. The dream invasions and sleep paralysis have happened several times now, though, and each time I cleanse the house with a bell and smoke and then seal all the doors and windows with protection of oil and sigils. The house always feels much better afterwards, but my cleansings only seem to work for 2 or 3 weeks, and then the thing begins invading my dreams again. Is this normal? Do cleansings usually only last that long, or is there something else I should be doing? I want to continue working with my grandfather, but worrying about this thing repeatedly coming back is starting to wear me out. Thanks in advance." Holy crap, I love this question. One, because I know exactly what you're talking about. This happens to me all the time. I do a lot of spirit work. I do a lot of like work with the dead. So I deal with this constantly. I am constantly being woken up. I'm constantly having my dreams invaded. I hate to make it sound so whatever, but like this happens to me weekly. So first off, your first question is, do cleansings usually only last that long? So you said it helps for 2 to 3 weeks. Okay. The cleansing you're doing, and I know which one you're doing. I think you're doing the one, spiral dance, right? Like that really classic kind of Wiccan inspired, home cleansing. Cleansings like that aren't meant to handle a big problem. They're more used to maintain. So imagine those cleansings as vacuuming your carpet. You do it regularly to maintain and keep like the residual dirt away. However, if a child spills like Let's say you have a 2-year-old who smears peanut butter into the carpet. Now you have a bigger problem. Vacuuming isn't really going to do much. It may help a little bit, but it's like you're doing the maintaining work, not the, oh no, now we have this thing we got to handle work. So it's hard. I have a really hard time giving advice here because I don't really do exorcism work because I don't know. Is it laziness? Maybe. Is it complacency? Maybe. Am I just used to it? Perhaps. But this does sound like a exorcism situation, you know? Bring someone in who is familiar with moving along entities, and that's my advice. I wouldn't say just bring in like any old witch because it really is a skill. People who can move along entities and like exorcise them is truly a skill. I wouldn't bring in just anyone to do a cleansing to do that. So you would want to find someone who is particularly experienced and known for that type of work. So that's what I would do. Because it's really normal. The more you start working with spirits and the dead, the more you attract other things. That's just how it goes. I hate to make it sound so, nonchalant, but that's just it. There's that quote that when you start to notice the mystical starts to notice you. And I think that is just how it works. However, I can see how it's annoying and frustrating. And yeah, I would find someone who is known for exercising or moving spirits along and ask them to help you out. Because again, you need someone who is particularly experienced and skilled in that area, and not just any old person. All right, I hope that helps. I hope that helps. I'm looking at the comments. There's quite a few, but I'm not seeing anything that's really adding. So, yeah. Or learn to live with it, which, you know, sometimes you just become a little desensitized to it, I think. All right. So, speaking of ghosts, we're going to talk today about Maud's grave. And this comes to us from Which Way Magazine, November 2021, and Michelle Lillemire. So, really fun, good old lore. Down the winding road through the thick forest, the moonlight twinkles onto a placid pond. The sounds of crickets and feelings of cool darkness surround you at your gaze, tries to make out what lies beyond the pond. It's late, so you decide to get into your car to drive off back to the shadows of the night. However, as you turn the key in the ignition, nothing. Your car is dead. There are tales of the same kind of those who enter the Pacaug State Forest near where Volantown and Sterling, Connecticut share a border. The road is called Hell Hollow Road, and in the forest, people report hearing the sounds of a girl screaming. Henry Tabor, for instance, had been hunting in Pacaug State Forest for 30 years, acknowledged the same noises. He did an interview with the Norwich Bulletin in 2003, and this is what he had to say. Quote, "You hear these like screaming noises," Tabor said. "You hear a lot of certain noises like that, that aren't typical. It gets you nervous in the woods." Most would attribute these noises to wild animals such as fisher cats. However, it's hard to remove oneself from the stories the locals have been telling each other for years. Maud. Those screams come from Maud. Who is Maud? I grew up not too far away, only about 10 minutes, and that is my understanding. That was Maud, and she was a witch. However, while furthering my research, something came to light. There are a lot of legends about who Maud was. There have been tales of a Native American woman who was hung and was screaming, and that is what you hear. There's also a story of a little girl being lost in the woods. The story goes that if you find Maud's grave, you will be cursed. Having grown up in the area, there were many stories about what would happen if you were there at night. Cars not starting, car accidents. These tales do not stop teenagers, especially, from taking the ominous drive down into the shadows of the dreadful road. In fact, I was one of them. One night around midnight, a friend and I went down the infamous Hell Hollow Road. We navigated ourselves down this hauntingly beautiful road that, even in its beauty, could still make your flesh crawl in the dead of night. We stopped right by the pond, where on the left side is a small parking area. My friend proceeded to get out of the car and quickly came back inside. While feeling the rise of anxiety and undeniable fear in my being, I turned the key to start the car. Silence. Nothing happened. The car would not start. Thankfully, we had a friend not too far away, and she came to our rescue, jump-starting my car, a suddenly dead battery. To say at least, we never ventured out that late to Hell Hollow Pond again. This scenario did, however, pique my curiosity as to who Maud was. In 1890, a little girl just shy of her second birthday developed diphtheria. Her name was Maud Reynolds. Diphtheria was quite common back then, which causes difficulty breathing, heart failure, paralysis, and even death, according to the CDC. Unfortunately, toddler Maud succumbed to the infection and died in October 1890. It was not until the 1920s when the diphtheria vaccine was invented and that the number of people infected began to decrease significantly. Unfortunately, this was not the first nor the last of the Reynolds children that would die before their parents. Two brothers, Earl and Gilbert, also died of diphtheria and were buried in the family plot. Maud, however, was not buried in the same cemetery that her brothers were, and no one knows why. Rumors, legends, and pure curiosity have created the lure to head out to Hell Hollow Road. Many have defaced Maud's grave, and even in the 1950s, a descendant would regularly have to go out and replace her grave marker, for it kept being stolen. There is still a strong fascination with Maud.
If you'd like to support the podcast,
what if there is more to the common tale than is typically told?
The
chilling sounds, the malfunction of vehicles, and car accidents still lead one to ask who or what in the Ponchog State Forest. Foremost, it is Maud out there, a little girl who died a terrible, sad death, who comes back for attention. Or is it? What else could be lurking out past the pond in the thick forest waiting to create havoc once more? I just thought this was a great story, and it really worked with our ghosty theme. So that's all I've got for you today. I do want to give a shout out to Caredwin Hirschberger. Caredwin, you starry-eyed poetic spinster. I also want to give a shout out to listener Pietra Simmons. Pietra, you charming, scrumptious Loch Ness monster. And then finally, Bia, you loyal, fair vampire slayer. Thank you three so much for being Patreon supporters. I really appreciate it. And that's all I got for you today. Thank you for dealing with me being congested. There's nothing I can do anymore. So, yeah. Links, books, blah, blahs are in the podcast description. I will talk to you tomorrow.